Welcome to the Image and Glory Conference 2025. Open your heart to receive the words of righteousness declared to equip us against the words of darkness. Hearken to these holy words and be empowered to rule and reign.
Let's have that. I don't know what's going on. Pastor Friday.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's another time again. I set a table again. I fed you just now, but I'm ready to feed you again. I just fed you again. I fed you, but I will feed you again. So I'm setting a table again to feed you. It's my work to feed you. It's my job to feed you. I'm not tired of feeding you. I'm not tired of feeding you, bringing food to you. I'm not tired of ministering to you, my meal. I'm not tired of ministering to you, baking my bread. I'm giving you my cake. I'm not tired. It's my job. It's my job to make sure meat is available in my house. Amen. It's my job to make it available. Meat. I am the meat. I am that meat. I am that bread. And I'm available again, placed on the table for you. I'm available again, placed on the table for you. Oh, for you to feast. It's a feast. It's a feast. It's a feast. Oh, don't be tired. Don't be tired for eating me. Eat me. Eat me. I will make myself available again.
Amen.
I'll make myself available again. So open your heart to eat. Open your heart to eat. I will feed you again. With my own self, I will feed you again. I will feed you again.
Amen.
I want you to be open. I want your heart to be hungry. Your heart to be hungry. Amen. There is yet a lot to feed you with. You have eaten things that is not of me. For a long time you have been eating. I am not the one feeding you. But now that I've been able to bring you to my table, be focused. I will feed you. Feed you. I will feed the things that you have eaten that is not of me. I will feed them off. I will feed them up. I will feed you until there will be no iota of fear in you. I will feed you until there will be no potential to go against me. So sit down. Sit down. Don't be weary. Receive grace. Sit down at my feet. Don't be distracted. Don't allow your heart to be distracted. For my cake is being served again. It's on the table. Sit down. Sit down. Ministering spirit will serve you as my servant ministers. See you at the Lord.
Can we all say amen? I can't hear you say amen. All right, let's see Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. God who at sundry times and in diverse mannerism spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Unto the fathers by the prophets. So these prophets are sons. They are when you say a prophet, can we say prophets? A prophet, yes, it's not just a spokesman for God. A prophet is a work of God's speaking. So before God uses a prophet, the Lord will have to raise a prophet. You know, Moses was called a prophet. God separated Moses from Aaron and Miriam, or prophets. Different, you know, you have different kind of prophets. We have those that speak. But we have those that they are raised as a speaking. I like the way the Bible, the way, you know, God demonstrated Moses' kind of prophetic order. It says, amen. Thank you. I think you're taking me there. Numbers chapter 12. It says, and he said, yeah, now my word, now hear my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will what? Make myself known to him in a vision. I will speak to him in a dream. So there are prophets that they are in the realm of visions and dreams. All right? But they are, he now says, my servant Moses is not so. So it's a different, God himself is the one separating prophets from prophets. Can we say amen? Meaning, you can be a prophet, having vision and dream, does not make you a custodian of God speaking. Meaning, it doesn't mean that you are a custodian of the things of God. So we have a lot of prophets. They have visions, they have dreams, but they are not the, they don't have the capacity to be a custodian of the things of God or secrets of God. So prophets, as defined by God, are those that have in their custody God's secrets. Everybody say secrets. Oh, you are not talking to everybody, say secrets. So secret things belongs to God. But things that are being revealed. Amen. Secret things belong to God. That's Deuteronomy 29:29. Amen. Secret things belongs to God. Unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us. So a prophet is a custodian of God's secrets. What did I say? So you can be a prophet in the realm of visions and dreams, but you are not a keeper of secret things of God. So secret things must be revealed. So we can conclude that secret things are righteousnesses of God because they have to be revealed. They are kept. If they are kept, it means that they have to be revealed for them to be known. So God was separating prophets from prophets. They are prophets of visions and dreams. It's just not like, not my servant Moses. My servant Moses is not so. Who is faithful in what? All my house. This is a serious thing. This is God testifying concerning Moses. He says he's faithful in all my, everybody say, my house. So there's an house of secrets that Moses was termed being faithful to. Faithful in all my house. Now that house that Moses is faithful, Jesus is the builder of that house. We can see that in Hebrews 3. But they say Moses was a faithful. So Jesus is a prophet of prophets. What did I say Jesus is? So Moses was after that order of prophet that Jesus is. But while Moses was faithful in the house, Jesus is the builder of that house. Can we all say amen? Not my servant Moses. He's faithful. I like the word faithful. Everybody say faithful. So you can't be faithful if there's no righteousness. Faith is a product of righteousness. What did I say? You cannot stock faith outside righteousness. Faith is response to righteousness. So you can't generate faith except righteousness is revealed. That's why the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So faith is the template of how we respond to God's righteousness. What did I say faith is? I can't hear you. So righteousness must be revealed for faith to be generated. You can't generate faith outside the revelation of righteousness. Righteousness, faith is obedience to righteousness revealed. And the way God designed transaction with him, transaction with God is only on the template of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to seek God. Without faith, it's impossible to know God. So without faith, it's impossible to know anything of God. And faith itself does not stand alone. Faith is by the product of righteousness. So I can't generate faith except God reveals his righteousness. This is very important. What did I say? So, Pastor, nobody can generate faith outside revelation of righteousness. And that's why it is through faith that we access the kingdom. Without faith, you can't access the dominion of God's life. Faith is what vehicles access into God's dominion. Because faith is obedience to righteousness. Write that down. Very important. Faith is obedience to righteousness of God. So Moses was termed faithful. Moses did not just have faith. He had full faith in my house. So I don't know how they measured it, but at that measurement of the law, Moses was faithful, because the law is a measurement of righteousness. How many of you know that the law itself is not evil? Romans 8 told us, he said there are righteous requirements of the law. So the law itself is a righteousness. Oh, nobody say amen. What did I say the law is? Actually, the law was supposed to bring us to Christ. The righteousness of the law was to make people become a Christ. The law itself should bring us to Christ. So there are righteous requirements of the law. When you look at the law was righteous, but we were evil. What did I say? I said, Pastor Dimitri is not preaching works. He's preaching law. He's not preaching grace. No. That's not what I mean. I'm showing that the law had righteous requirements. Let me show you scripture. Because people listen to us and take one statement and run away. I just listened to that preacher. He said the law is good. That's not what I meant. But you know, Paul says the law is holy. Even Paul says so. So if Paul says, so who am I? Paul is my father. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, just, and good. So there in Romans 8, Paul called it righteous requirement of the law. So what the law was supposed to do was to bring us to Christ. What did I say the law was supposed to be? Can we say amen? That's in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3:23. Let's see that. Let's see all scriptures. Amen. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was what? Our schoolmaster to bring us what? Unto Christ, that we might be what? Justified by faith. So the law had righteous requirements. Can we say amen? So, within the measurement of that order, Moses was what? Faithful in my house. So, God was the one defending Moses as a prophet, as a custodian of the secret things of God. So, it means that Moses was a building of righteousness. What did I say Moses was? The Bible called him the meekest man on earth. So, meekness is tied to righteousness. Because meekness is also a measurement of dominion of God. The dominion of God are in righteousnesses. And meekness is a demonstration of righteousness. So Moses was called the meekest man on earth. God called him faithful in my house. Amen. Faithful in my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth. Even what? Even apparently, not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, that ye are not what? Afraid to speak against my servant Moses. So I'm only showing you that the kind of prophet that Jesus is a prophet that is a custodian of the secrets of God. What did I say Jesus is? So Jesus is a prophet that has secrets of God. And there were kind of prophets before Jesus. Moses was one. So all the sons of God were kind of prophets that were custodians of the things of God, the secrets of God, which are the righteousnesses of God. No wonder these men knew things far ahead. When you look at someone like Moses, someone like David, David knew things that even people in the New Testament does not know. So how did he know it? It was revealed to him. So you cannot please God without revelation of righteousness. Say that to me. Come on, say that to righteousness must be revealed for me to generate faith. For without faith is impossible to please God. To please him. For he that cometh to God. So how do I come to God? Come on, how do I come to God? By faith. And how is faith generated? Righteousness. So righteousness is the pathway of coming to God. You can't know God without learning his righteousness. You cannot access God without his righteousness revealed. And the righteousness of God is from faith to faith. Meaning the righteousness of God is in stratas of life. What did I say the righteousness of God is? So righteousness is the DNA of God's kingdom. You cannot access that kingdom except righteousness has been revealed from one level of faith to the other until righteousness is climaxed in the full dominion of God's life. Glory to God. Nobody say amen. So Amos 3:7. So secret things of God are things of God's righteousness. What did I say? So you can see, surely the Lord God will do nothing except to reveal his secrets. God has secrets. He reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Unto his servants, the prophets. I like the word servants. So who are these servants? Those that are serving righteousness. What did I say these servants are? So you can't serve righteousness except secrets of God are revealed to you. Glory to God. Thank you for this scripture. The secret of the Lord is with them that what? Fear him. And he will what? Show them his covenant. So without secrets, I can't come to covenant. Without covenant, I can't lay hold on promises. Let's say that. Without secrets, I cannot come into covenant. Without covenant, I can't lay hold on promises of life. So it's very key. So secrets must be revealed. Righteousnesses must be revealed for me to lay hold on promises of life. So the kingdom of God the kingdom of God or the dominion of God can only be accessed when secrets of the kingdom are revealed. So when the Bible says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. It means that every strata of life in the kingdom is tied to secrets. Come on, what did I say? So all the mysteries of the kingdom, they are secrets
of what? Accessing the dominion of God's life. So when secret things are not revealed, life cannot be what? Accessed. Somebody said one time, he says, all this mystery you people are preaching. Somebody confused one of my daughters one time. He said, all this pastor, you're just preaching. He said, there are no mysteries in the New Testament. That's what the person said. Confused the poor girl. He said, there are no mysteries anymore. Just read your Bible. He said, that's okay. So all this, them pastor, they just want to make simple things complex. So the girl was confused. Young girl. Something some ministers do. He says, all these things, that everything is plain. Just read your Bible. That's all. Hallelujah. I wish it were that easy. Amen. I wish it were that easy. Say, just read your Bible and pray. He said, all this unveiling. What are you unveiling? And you know, at times you can be talking in with confidence and you're talking rubbish. So without secrets, we can't access the kingdom of God. Life in the kingdom is tied to secrets being revealed. And what are secrets? Righteousness. So we cannot agree now that all the mysteries of the kingdom, they are all righteousnesses. What did I say? If you don't answer me, you make this teaching longer. What did I say? So look at it. Amos 3:7. The Lord does not accept, he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. So who are those prophets? They are custodians of secrets of God. Glory to God. First verse 3 says, can two walk together except they agree? Take me there. I just want to. Can two walk together except they be agreed? So you cannot walk with someone that you don't know his righteousness. Righteousness is key for agreement. What did I say? Oh, you are not answering me. Righteousness is the foundation for covenant. That's why it's very hard. If you go and marry anybody, you will suffer. I won't say more than that. You know, Pastor Timmy doesn't want us to marry. I will not want you to marry. It's just that I understand that if there's no agreement, can two walk together? There has to be righteousness. If the person you want to marry does not consider seeking God as important, sir, you just wasted your. You just go and put your head under that kind of man. You will suffer. In my own opinion, this is my own opinion. I don't say it's God's opinion. This is my own opinion. I prefer that you are single. That I am single than marrying anybody. That is my own opinion. I'd rather believe God that God will bring the kind of man that we can combo together to do the will of God. But peradventure, that man is not available. I'd rather be single seeking God. If you're not like that, you can't please God. And I'm not going to bend my message because some people are tagging me. Can we all say amen? You can't marry one brother just us. He doesn't love God. He doesn't love God. Somebody can have a good heart. When he hears truth, he will respond. Somebody told someone, you know, he said, you know, I mean, I think they were in a relationship before, and I think relationship was going to some kind of, you know, on some kind of oppressive brothers. You have not married them. They are very oppressive. You understand? Very oppressive and all that. So the girl, for adventure, someone now entered into this waters and was hearing truth. Immediately the guy heard the truth. He was, don't go there again. Already, I think the guy could perceive that this was liberty. You go and put your head under some. I don't want my. Maybe somebody wants to make a decision. I don't want you to take me off my message. So, covenant. Righteousness is the basis for covenant. You can't have agreement when. Even the new covenant, we have to come to God's word. It is built on God's terms. Thank you. That's why there is no covenant without law. God said, I will write my laws. God's laws are God's righteousness. If they don't write his laws inside you, He can't cut covenant with you. So, I'm just showing you the power of righteousness. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Glory to God. Nobody's saying amen. So prophets are custodians of God's secrets. And secret things are revelation of God's righteousness. So according to Colossians 2 verse 2, all the mysteries of the kingdom there, they are revelations of righteousness. Christ is a revelation of God's righteousness. The Father is also righteousness. The mystery of God is full righteousness. All righteousness. Can we all say amen? I can't hear you say amen. Glory to God. Can we all say amen? So, dominion is tied to revelation of righteousness. Write that down. Dominion of life is tied to revelation of righteousness. I must obey righteousness to lay hold on life. I must obey righteousness. Walk of righteousness precedes entrance into dominion. These are basics, alright? Now take me back to Hebrews 1, alright? Take me back to that Hebrew. So you can see. So those prophets there were sons that were keepers of God's secrets. Glory to God. Now, when you see Hebrews 11, you saw them. Those are prophets. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Let's just see. Let's see four of them. Hebrews 11. You know, we normally use this scripture for basic faith. But it's actually more than that. Paul was teaching the Hebrew church. The Hebrew church had come onto Mount Zion. So what the Hebrew church were pressing on to was salvation of the soul. Can we say amen? So faith there is not for things. Faith in Hebrews 11 is not for things. It's faith for God. It's not for things. You can use it, but that's not what it's talking about. It says now faith is the substance of things. What? You are not answering me. Evidence of things not seen. Alright? So like I said, hope must be preached. As a promise of life for faith, what? To be generated. So when you preach hope as a promise of life, what are you preaching, Pastor? Righteousness. So hope is righteousness also. When you are preaching hope as a promise of life that you have not laid hold, it is a righteousness. So it meaning that you must hear righteousness for you to have access to substance of faith. What did I say you must hear? So you now understand, Romans, faith cometh by? Faith cometh by? Hearing by? That word of God is what? Righteousness. It's revelation of righteousness. So you can't have faith except righteousness is preached as an hope. Glory to God. Am I confusing you? So now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, an evidence of things not seen. So you have an evidence when substances of faith, you are only substances of faith. And the same Paul told us that faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word. So, for by it, the elders obtained a good report. I like the word, ever say elders. Now, you can replace that elders with prophets. So, prophets are elders. What did I say prophets are? Obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand. The words were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Look at that. Let's look at it again. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So he's saying that unseen things is what brought forthward things that are seen. Can we say amen? So I'm supposed to live my life by the revelation of the unseen. Come on, what did I say? So unseen things are real things. Or I can say, unseen things are righteousness. Why they are righteousness is that unseen things are actually secrets. They have to be revealed. So I should be living from the unseen to the seen. So a man living from the unseen is living by righteousness. He's living by revelation of God's righteousness. So that is what the elders were known for. They were living by revelation of God's righteousness to them. So you notice that God appeared to them and began to speak to them. Abraham was a man that lived on the voice of God. Look at Genesis chapter 12. I think it was Moses, was it Stephen that was summarizing the Bible? It says the God of glory appeared. And he said, men, brethren and fathers, Achan, even respected them and they killed him. Look at how he honored them, men, brethren and fathers. What a man. Achan, the God of glory, appeared unto our father, what? Abraham, when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. So when God appeared to Abraham, God appeared to Abraham and began to reveal righteousness to him. All those things. Abraham lived basically by speaking. Oh, hallelujah. What did I say? How did Abraham live? By revelation of righteousness. That's how he lived. So that's why he is called a man of faith, because he handles substances of faith according to revelations of righteousness. Glory to God. So what makes prophets are revelations of righteousness? What makes elders are revelations of righteousness? So by faith, Abel offered. So you can see stratas of prophets. I believe that this stratification here, take me to back to Hebrews 11. It is in a condescending order. It means Abel is higher than Enoch. Enoch is higher than Noah. Noah is higher than Abraham. That's how I see it. So the first prophet, apart from Adam, was Abel. In the Old Testament, he was the first prophet. It says by faith, Abel offered. They may say offered. Oh, glory to God. Unto God, a more what? Excellent sacrifice than Cain. So both of them, they were in school of prophetic training. So you understand that what Abel disobeyed was righteousness. What Cain, rather, disobeyed was what? Righteousness. So his works were evil. Why? His works were not according to righteousness. So works that he generated were not according to righteousness. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was what? Righteous. He was righteous because he obeyed righteousness. So when God appears, what he gives a revelation of what? Righteousness. That's what God was doing in the garden with Adam. Through his voice, God was teaching him righteousness. That was the righteousness of the everlasting God. For Adam to what? Respond in faith, in obedience, until Adam came into full climax of life. So that means if God wants to give you life, God has to reveal righteousness. Righteousness is the vehicle to enter into life. Without righteousness obeyed, the soul can't undo life. Can we say amen? So you can see, by which you obtain a witness that he was righteous. He was righteous because he responded to righteousness. He responded to a work of righteousness. He was made righteous. God testifying to his gifts. So that his gift was not the thing. His gift was a product of an obedience to righteousness. You know, God accepted Abel and his gifts, and God rejected Cain and his gifts. Because Cain was responding to another voice. You know, sin is twisted righteousness. And the one came and said, well, sin is at your door. Meaning sin was already educating this guy. It was countering revelation of truths, of righteousness that God was bringing to them so that they could offer themselves. Can we all say amen? Hallelujah. So what makes prophets are revelations of righteousness. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. All right? And was not found. Because what? God had what? Translated him. I like what? He did not see death. For before his translation, look at this. Because I want you to see something here. Before his translation, can we all say before? He had what? He had a testimony. You can't have testimony without righteousness. You can't even have testimony without law and covenant. So it means that commandments were revealed to Enoch that he kept. And then he was able to generate what? A testimony. Can we all say amen? So what was his testimony? That he pleased God. Everybody say he pleased God. So it was through this that they say without faith. So what generated that faith? Righteousness. You cannot have a testimony without righteousness. What did I say? So he had this what? Testimony that he pleased God. Well, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he is what? A rewarder. I like what he is, a rewarder. Of them. So we see two things, coming and reward. Or walk and reward. What did I say we see here? So there is a walk that Enoch did. And then there was a reward that God gave. The walk was a walk of righteousness according to revelation. Enoch was obeying revelation. You don't understand that Enoch saw before him there's a testimony of people who were living and dying. That was what he saw. Enoch responded to a righteousness that did not make him see death. So it means that he was not living by what he saw. Thank you, ma. He was living by the unseen. So at any level, living by the seen is sin. At any level. Living by the sin. I choose to live by what is sin. I live by the unseen. Nobody is saying amen. So either they like it or not, Nigeria will not divide. Why? I'm living by the what? Unseen. I'm living by revelation of prophetic words that has gone ahead of us. Alright? This is not the Nigeria that God promised us. Because of that, I will live by that which God has said. So that thing applies at all levels. That is why when you don't live a life that is born out of faith, you cannot please God. Anything done out of faith is sin. So you now understand that it all applies at every level. When you respond to issues not out of the revelation of God's standard, you can't please God. When you make decisions not outside of God's standard, you can't please God. Decisions of life. You have things glaring, you know, I mean, I'm talking about Oju Koroju. This is what is glaring to you. You are supposed to wait and live by what is revealed. What did I say? Amen. Hallelujah. What did I say? So it means that, you know, at times when we teach, it's as if they say don't plan. This church, they don't believe in planning. No, that's not what I teach. I'm saying I'm supposed to receive my plan. Yes. It's two different things. Me planning and you receiving your plan. Now, me planning my life, it suggests many things. Number one, it means I know everything. I mean, I'm able to navigate my way. The first thing I will ask you is that who created you? I am thinking that the person that created you has a better plan for you. So it is actually sinful for a man planning his life outside God. And these are things that we do in church. In fact, we have messages that push it. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. What can a man do? A man that does not see tomorrow. Do you know when you will die? Let me give you, that's just, I know, I believe I shall live, I shall not die. To declare the works of God. You don't know. God has written our lives according to his will. So, you are already making plans outside him. You don't even ask him, what is his plan for you? Who has the manual for your life? So, you are supposed to follow God's plan for your life. Meaning, the work of a believer is to now learn to receive God's plan. And that means, so, I'm not saying don't plan. I'm saying not. Live your life according to his plan. You know, these are two different things. Live your life according to plan. What is that plan? God's plan. What is God's plan? God's righteousness. It was God's righteousness for me to marry Pastor Fisayo. But I had my own righteousness, Indian girl. But thank God I did not war with God's righteousness. God said, okay, so what do you mean? Is it that I should, is it that I should not like, God does not care what I like? It's good that God does not care what you like. Because what you like can kill you. I'm telling you, thank God that God should not even like what you like. If that's even an insult to God. Why will God like what you like? You don't know. God's ways is higher than our ways. As far as the heaven is from the head, so is his ways. It's not our ways. His thoughts is not our thoughts. Can we all say amen? I know what I'm talking about. I'm just trying to make it. I want it to reach home. So when you say faith, faith is not outside the context of revelation of righteousness. You know, we taught faith without righteousness. But even the fathers that taught faith well, they said faith is based on the word. They taught us that. It is believers that began to add their own. On the surface value, you are supposed to live your life based on the word of God. Now, we are saying that the word of God is more than letter. The word of God is a person that must be revealed to you. Glory to God. Nobody is saying amen. So righteousness is the template for pleasing God. And righteousness must be revealed. Righteousness is a secret of God. It must be revealed. And that's why the gospel itself is the righteousness of God revealed. Because the gospel is not an it. It is a who. It's a person. Glory to God. I can't hear you say amen. So you can see prophets. I said prophets are custodians of God's secrets. So we saw them. So the last in that Akeda was Abraham. So there's something similar to all these men. Adam, Abel, Enoch, Noah. Take me to Noah. They were all men that lived by revelation. So they lived outside of the realities of their day because they were receiving substances from another world. Think about if you're a Noah, can you really build an ark? You must be crazy to do so. Nobody has seen rain before. Before Noah, mist was coming out of the earth. So a guy say rain is coming. I say, what is rain? Define rain. He said, define rain. Actually, rain comes from heaven. I say, this man is crazy. Like you are teaching something that nobody believes. You know, I was reading the story of Elon Musk, how he grew up. You know, he grew up in South Africa. He used his first 17 years in South Africa before he went into the U.S. I was amazed. The guy was already thinking like a genius from age 5. He was thinking about space, all this space. I don't know how old he is. I think he was born in 1971. I'm not sure, but I think he should be in his 50s now. So all those cartoons that we all was watching, because I watched cartoons a lot in the 80s, you know, all those space things, Knight Rider. The guy was watching it, but you were doing it for entertainment. The guy was seeing how he's going to bring those things to pass. The guy literally wants a new world. That's his ambition. When before 10, he was already, he had designed his first computer game. While you are still rolling tire. I'm just showing you. He has designed his first computer game. He sold it. He made $500. He said he now discovered, okay, this is just the beginning. I'm just showing you, you know, look at mind. Being dedicated to a cause. The issue that surprised me, that things he read, he saw them as possibilities. So like I told you before, a computerized, seeing now that they have made a robot car. I said that's Knight Rider. We watched it in the 80s. Somebody did not watch it. You see that this thing can be possible. So now, a car can take you from Lagos to Ibadan, and you can sleep in the car. And it will arrive you at where you are going. And it's not going to jam. Without a driver. That's what I'm saying. But that's what we watch in Knight Rider now. How many of you don't know? If you watch Knight Rider, that's what we watch in Knight Rider. But it was film then. It's not any more film. Can we say amen? In the future, robots will be going to war. That's the technology. Of course, we have seen drone. Drone was in movies before it came into all this drone thing that you are seeing now. Am I talking to people? Yes, sir. It was in movies before it became a reality. Movies. So what I'm saying is, we live by the unseen. Amen. Righteousness is how God designed man to live. What is righteousness? It's the content of God's DNA. What did I say righteousness is? It's the fabric of God's life. God's life is in stratas of righteousness. So, Noah, the Bible called him, Peter called him a preacher of righteousness. Paul says by faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of what? His house, by which he condemned the world. Everybody say he condemned the world. And became what? Heir of righteousness. This was before Jesus came. A man became an heir of righteousness. So all these elders, they moved beyond their templates. They have journeyed far beyond their testament. You are telling me that this man is Old Testament. It's not Old, sir. They were living by revelation of righteousness. They called him an heir of righteousness. How? By faith. Then by faith, Abraham. So you can see, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham. They were all prophets. Everybody say prophets. Oh, you are not shouting, say prophets. So prophets live by revelation of righteousness. So from one level of righteousness, your prophetic stature increases. Now they judge you according to what? Your stature. Take me back to Hebrews 1. So you can see, Jesus said, of all that was born of men, of women, none has arisen like John. Take me there. Now, if somebody told you that John was this, you will argue. In fact, in today's church, who is John? No, who was teaching us? No, but someone was teaching us. No, have you ever heard a prayer? Have you seen a program, Spirit of John? Or mantle of John. People are looking for mantle. Nobody is looking for mantle of John. Amen. Why are you not looking for mantle of John? Why do you prefer Elijah? Of course, Elijah. Elijah, no die. An action man now. Elijah carry chariot, enter heaven. But they killed John at the prime of his age. Only cool, you know the way we can. Only cool way. How can somebody just die like that? Abba. Ministry without impact. Look at our definition. Now, look at Jesus' definition for this. Is also a prophet. Can we all say amen? Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has none, there had not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Please look at this. Let's mark here. This is Jesus'. If you say it was, some people can argue that if it was Paul, they can say it's Paul, it's not Jesus. So now, this is Jesus. there's none that has arisen greater than John. So the only person that does not fit this description is Adam. Look at it very well. The only person that does not fit this description is Adam, because Adam was not born of woman. So pack everybody from Enoch, from Abel. None arisen greater than John. What did this man John do? What did he really do? Did he really do any miracle? Because I want you to follow my thoughts. What miracle did he do? None. He did no miracle. He only had water. So they are showing that John's water is higher than Elijah's chariot. Come on, come on, follow me, follow me. What did I say? Who did you Elijah take? John's water or Elijah's chariot? Or the white wind that took him, whichever one. Or the mantle of Elijah. So I like the word reason. So what makes you rise is righteousness. The Bible says righteousness exalts. So it means that John extended the order of righteousness beyond any prophet before him. Because John was the one that prepared the way for Jesus Christ. In fact, for you to even discern Jesus Christ, you must have deep revelation. You say, how do you know? Someone say, maybe they were cousins. They never met. I can prove that to you from scripture. That was the first time they met. They never met. Yes, they were 6 months apart. Remember, I told you that the same genocide that wanted to wipe out Jesus would have affected John. They were the same age, just 6 months apart. So, if you want to flee, it will have been a very terrible time. So maybe they just communicated to themselves that we have to take away our children. So remember, Jesus was fleeing to Egypt. To flee to Egypt, you have to cross Jordan and enter the wilderness. Except there's another way. So then for John, his parents were elderly. So this is my own opinion. If you have another suggestion, I will take it. It's possible that they journeyed together. But some people could not go further because they were old. So John grew up where? In the wilderness. Let me tell you this. Follow me. Follow my thoughts. Say, Pastor Dimitri, I started again. He grew up in the wilderness. Now, if you understand, there were some communities. When they were coming from Egypt and they were entering into the promised land, we had some of the tribes that settled before Jordan. So the fact that John grew up in the wilderness, it means there were tribes of Israel that were around that area. That's how he grew up. So why was he eating wild locusts? That was the food available. He grew up under a tough condition. So they never grew. If you the last time you met your cousin was when you both were 6 months old or 1 year, how can you know him? It's not my sense. I believe that, you know, John, knowing him, he was by the Spirit. And he didn't even call him Jesus, his cousin. He called him, behold, the Lamb of God. So to say that is a work of righteousness. You must have reason above every man to be able to see the Son. So righteousness is what causes a man what to ascend from the earth. Righteousness. Also, of all prophets, none reason as John. Then I said, the least in the kingdom is greater. This is where I now want to move a little bit. Amen. Now, you're assuming that the least in the kingdom here is he that is born again. I wish it was that. So, the least. He said, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So, to be greater than John, you must transit beyond the kingdom of the earth. So, everybody say kingdom of earth. So, you can divide the kingdom of God into earth and heaven. Let me explain that in a brief. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Then we'll go to John 3. I'll round up my thought there. So there is a righteousness of God that is earth. There's a righteousness of God that is heaven. And it is the summation of this that comes, that you can come into full kingdom life. Can we say amen? So nevertheless, we are according to his promise. Look for what? Come on, answer me. New what? And what? Wherein dwell what? So what they are saying is that the present heaven and earth is passing away. Now, the present heaven and earth, or the present heaven is where Christians really want to go. And God is saying that they are going to roll it up. Hebrews chapter 1. Actually, it's waxing old. That's Hebrews 1 verse 10. I didn't say that. The Bible said, please don't be angry. I don't hate heaven. I love heaven. All right. God is only saying that there's a better one. Look at, start from verse 10. Let me just defend my thesis. And thou, O Lord, in the beginning hast what laid the foundation of the earth and the heavens are the works of thy hands. Are you saying that? They shall perish. Look at it very well. So what is that day? Come on, answer me. I don't want to say it. Look at it. They shall, when they say it shall perish, he's saying that when God did the present heaven and earth, he put expiry dates. It means that even though the present heaven and earth was works of his hand, it was even done in an everlasting context. However, the heaven and earth was a work of God's hand. Ever say work of his hands? But the future heaven and earth is what? A revelation of a life in God. That's why in Revelation chapter 21, the new heaven and the new Jerusalem came out of what? Start from verse 11, verse 1. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth were what? And there was no more. And I, John, saw what? The new Jerusalem coming out of what? Coming down from God. Out of what? So where is heaven coming out of? Look at it. So the new heaven, where is it? It is not made. It is not made by hands. It is what? Born of God. So look at it. Prepared as a bride. So they are saying this. Now, if you think this is a physical city, oh man, your journey is long. They said this, what? Is prepared as a bride. Jesus is not going to marry a cosmopolitan city. So this is a people that they are coming out of a new heaven that is in God. So when they say you seek for a new heavens, what are they saying? That heavens is in who? They said, now don't seek for new heavens alone. There's also new earth. Where is that new earth? So heaven and earth is beyond a place. It's a reality in God. And it is according to what? Righteousness. Different calibrations of righteousness. So Peter is saying, we according to his promise seek for new heavens and new earth wherein dwell righteousness. We are according to his promise. So it is this combination of new earth and new heaven that is the promise. Actually, they are promises. So it means you can't come into new heavens except you come into new earth. So you begin your journey from earth, then you take ascension to heaven. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Nobody saying amen.
Amen.
Let's go to John chapter 3. There was a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God. No one can do these miracles except that God be with him. Jesus said unto him, very, very, I say unto you, except a man be what? He cannot what? Look at that. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. All right? Then he now says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a mother's womb a second time? Then Jesus made it more complex. Except a man be born what? And of the Spirit. Now, so first let's establish this. There is no one but in the kingdom of God. What did I say? What we know as born again is the beginning of righteousness. Because getting born again, or what they call the new birth, is actually the first birth, and is the raising of your spirit. So your spirit is raised by you believing in Jesus. It's called imputed righteousness. That should now begin the journey of what? Learning righteousness. So it means that righteousness is what births. Oh, you're not answering me. Come on, what did I say? So the key of birthing is what? Learning righteousness. So except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. All right? Actually, the kingdom of God must be revealed. Now, getting born again only qualifies you to see the kingdom. It's not even automatic. They must preach the kingdom to you. You can be in church for 30 years. You won't see the kingdom of God, because this is not talking about heaven. This is talking about the revelation of God's life, the dominion of the kingdom of God. This kingdom must be revealed. You can get born again, you don't know Jesus. Because Jesus is the what? Righteousness of God revealed. They have to, Jesus must reveal himself to you. Eh? And Jesus has many stratas to him. So I now understand, what's the purpose of the church? To reveal Jesus. That's why the church should be a school. The church should be, when they say the church is the pillar and ground of truth, it's actually righteousness. We should be revealing Jesus from the new birth to fullness. It should all be about showing who he is. Oh, nobody's saying amen to that. So except the man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So when you get born again, because even though you are born again, your spirit is created, recreated in Christ, your soul is still carnal. So what they do to that soul is not to immediately introduce you into the kingdom of God. They introduce you first to the kingdom of Christ. Because it is the kingdom of God and Christ. So the kingdom of Christ is the earth of God. What did I say? When I mean earth, I'm not talking about flesh. I'm not talking about canal. I mean God's earth. Eh? So they want to make you first the earth of God before you can ascend into heaven. Now, how do I know? Let's continue. And now it says, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit. So the water there is both the water of Christ and the Spirit of Christ. So the purpose of the bath of water and the Spirit is for you to now find entrance into the kingdom of God. So the purpose of the kingdom of Christ is to prepare you to turn a soul from being carnal to becoming what? Spiritual. How I know is verse 6. It says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. But that which is born of what? Spirit is spirit. Alright? So there is new birth. There is now what? Being born of the Spirit. To be born of the Spirit is to become spiritual. What did I say? Oh, now without a revelation of righteousness of Christ, a soul will not be what? Spiritual. A Christian may never be spiritual until he dies and goes to heaven. And is a believer. Because being spiritual is a product of learning Christ. And Christ is a measurement of God's righteousness. We see that in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 20. It says, but you have not so learned Christ. Everybody say, learn. The soul must not subject itself to learning by hearing gospel of Christ and walking in it. I don't know. Am I making any sense? So righteousness of the head is righteousness of Christ. He's the head of God. So take me back. So that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. You can see small s. So when that means that which is born of the spirit is spiritual. So the birth of the water and the spirit. When they say water, water there is actually word. It's the word of Christ and the spirit of Christ. So you can have, so for you to come into the complete bath of the dominion of Christ, you need both water of Christ and Spirit of Christ. It's not, they are not talking about Holy Ghost. You say, I have Holy Ghost. No. When you see scripture very well, look at Romans 8. It says, that has not the Spirit of Christ is not of his. You can be born again, but you are not of his yet. Oh, these people have started. Wallah day. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Is that not enough? It's more than that. You have to grow up. So look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse what? 19. Let's look at that. I'm talking about water and Spirit of Christ. So you start by Word of Christ. Then from Word of Christ, you move into a Spirit of Christ. That's a type of testimony of Christ. That is what declares you fully spiritual or fully a son of the earth or the son of the new earth. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Look at it. I'm in this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Let what? Everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? So everybody say, name the name. Name of Christ there is talking about nature of Christ. That is not the nature in your spirit. It's the nature they want to put on your soul. So to the Spirit of Christ is the climaxing of the work of Christ in a soul. So the end of the kingdom of water and the Spirit is to give you this name. Can we say amen? Everybody say name of Christ. Say it again, no? So when I say it, anyone that doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, none of these. That Spirit there is name. Spirit there is nature. So I can have Christ in my spirit. I don't have Christ in my soul. So before they bring you into the kingdom of God, they will take you into the kingdom of Christ to burn you with righteousness, both with word and spirit, so that you can be declared what? Spiritual. Glory to God. It's a simple message, but I think God wants me to teach it. And they are all righteousness. So righteousness of the new earth should raise a new man. What did I say? So even though your spirit is new, they want to make that soul new. And that soul must learn righteousness. So that's why Ephesians says, you have not so learned Christ. If so, you have what? Heard of him and have been what? Taught by him. So before he teaches you, you must hear of him. You must hear. Then you are taught. That's discipleship. Hearing is evangelism. This is the way the Lord taught me. He says hearing is preaching. Preaching precedes teaching. Jesus normally taught disciples. I heard one teacher say this. He says, you preach gospel, you teach doctrine. There's a lot of sense in it. If you want establishment, you have to teach doctrine. You enter into teaching. Now, for you to be taught, you must first hear. Because hearing is what gathers the heart to be taught. If you try to teach somebody that needs to hear, it will be hard. They'll be sleeping. I've gone to places. Anytime I go for outreach, the only time I do serious teaching is maybe in sister churches. When I go outside this church, I go and preach. I evangelize. I do Holy Ghost meeting. I do prophetic move. Some people say they like following me to go and do outreach because they see another dimension that those in church. I lay hands on people. I prophesy. I do all kind of things. It's all that just to open their hearts. I will preach. Normally, if you give me two sessions, first night, I do move of the Spirit, Holy Ghost night. I remember one time, Iman went, with me. First night, Holy Ghost night. I preached for about 30 minutes. Then entered into prophetic singing. Then Holy Ghost began to move. Wind, power, thunder, rolling. People were shouting, hey! Powerful ministration. Everybody was blessed. I said, okay. So day two was morning. Morning is for small teaching. So I started opening epistle. 2 hours teaching. When it was 30 minutes, I saw some people close their Bible. This guy no go kill us. Scripture. You know, get close. If I saw people close their Bible, they did like this. Like protest. Give us Holy Ghost light again. Give us Holy Ghost. Let us begin to roll on the ground. I said, no, we have to be taught. So you can see, you must hear, and then you are taught. Eh? As the truth is in Jesus. Eh? So, the purpose of the water and the Spirit of Christ is for you to put on the name of Christ. And that name is the name of the new head, fabricated in what? Righteousness. Nobody saying amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Take me back. John 3. I didn't move beyond the first verse in Hebrews. My heart wanted to go. Prophets and the Son of God. So it means the Son of God is God's prophet. Who did I say the Son of God is? So as God's prophet, he has the new earth and the new heavens. So God was able to download all righteousness in the Son of God. So for you to be made like a son or a prince, he must reveal his righteousnesses to you. He starts by revealing the righteousness of his head. So take him back to John. Now, verse 7. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listed, but thou hearest a sound there, but thou cannot tell where it cometh, neither where it goes. So is everyone born. Come on. So is everyone what? It didn't say, so is everyone born again. So this is not new, but this is born of the Spirit. So born of the Spirit is the birth of the new earth. What did I say? That's the birth of Christ. And it's a revelation, it's righteousness. So you have to complete a cycle of righteousness to be born of the Spirit. Now look at verse 9. Let's go on. We are reading down to verse 12. Now let's jump to verse 12. Is it verse 12? Okay, let's know. Go back to verse 9. Nicodemus answered this thing and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered to him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verse 10. Verse 11. He says, we speak what we know, and testify the things we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you of what? So what has Jesus been teaching from verse 1 to verse 11? Earthly things. So those are things of Christ, called the new earth. He didn't say carnal things. So it means the new births and being born of water and the Spirit, you can categorize them as what? Earthly things. They are to make you the earth of God. So actually, the gospel can be divided to earthly things and what? Heavenly things. New earth and new heavens. If you have not believed earthly things, how shall you believe if I tell you of what? Oh, you are not answering. How shall you believe when I tell you of what? So you can now understand the least in the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking even about new earths. He's talking about a believer that has entered into the dominion of God. It means John the Baptist was earth of God. He was a kind of an earth. The son said, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. So that's a spirit that has entered into the dominion of God. Has more stature than John. Meaning he has acquired more righteousness. So I now understand that, okay, the Son of God, his ways will offend you if you don't grow in righteousness. You know that even John did not understand him. John did not understand Jesus. How do you think you can match up with that? At a point, John had to send disciples to Jesus. Are you the one to come? Or you didn't get what I'm saying? Or shall we look for? Now, who said behold the lamp of God? So you can understand that John was in prison and things were tough. That was a very cloudy time in his ministry and in his walk with God. They say, send disciples, are you the one to come? And then Jesus now said, tell this to John, the blind see, the lepers are cleansed, the lame walk. He said, blessed is he that is not offended in me. So you will be offended if you don't grow in righteousness. Yeah, you can't understand certain dimensions of God if you are not increasing in judgments of righteousness. A lot of believers have been offended in God because God has not been good according to their eyes. May God bless us with understanding, with judgment. You know, this is the most painful thing is that when we lose somebody that we love and there's no way we can balance it, that God was good. And the Lord told me one time, he said, you are only looking at that thing from your hand. There are many things I see that you don't see. So we can see. So Jesus says, how can I believe you? I tell you heavenly things. So we move from earthly things to heavenly things. So what are those heavenly things? I'll just summarize in the next 5 minutes. It says, no man has ascended up to heaven. Look at that. But he that came down from heaven. What is Jesus saying? Before now, Elijah went to heaven. Enoch went to heaven. So, Moses. Moses' body was taken to heaven. The elders saw God. So what is Jesus saying? No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So when you see Jesus saying heaven, you must ask, which heaven? Because by Jesus's, by the Bible, we can disprove this. But it's Jesus that is saying it. So when Jesus says something, we must prove it. You don't understand? Have you ever seen the answer? When you see the answer, just try to get the step that will lead to that answer. If you try to say this answer is not right, so ever say Jesus is always right. So if Jesus said no man ascended up to heaven, so we must not question heaven. Which heaven? It means that heaven is more than a place. Heaven is a state of life in God. But he that came down from heaven. The Bible did not say Jesus came down from heaven. No. John chapter 1 verse 1. Say this where he has started again. The Bible don't say Jesus came down from heaven that is the present heaven. There's no record in scripture. But Jesus, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So where did Jesus come from? Where did Jesus proceed from? So what is God's heaven? 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. There are three that bear witness in heaven. So if you enter heaven now, you will not see these three. So when John was talking about this, says there are three recorded in heaven, the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So in the New Testament, heaven is more than the present heaven. That's what I want to defend. Heaven is a dominion of what? Of life in God. Earth is also a dominion of life in God. So a Christian is supposed to journey from God's earth to God's heaven. So no man has ascended into heaven, up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Was Jesus in heaven while he was talking? In the sense of being in heaven. So it's meaning that heaven is a dimension, not a place. Right now as I speak to you, I am in heaven, meaning I am heavenly. So you cannot understand. Hebrews chapter 3. Heavenly calling. When they say heavenly calling, heavenly grace, oh, come on, heavenly grace, oh, heavenly grace, oh. What is that heavenly grace? It's our calling. They said the inheritance is reserved in heaven for you. It's a state of life that is in where? God. So I like this one. Jesus is heaven to me. Now, what are you going to choose? Jesus or heaven? So if Jesus changed location, some Christians will still say, I still want to make heaven. You just say, okay, let me change my location to Ibadan. It means Ibadan is heaven. So look at it. So where they are is heaven. So you now understand that God is now bringing these projects that God will bring heaven into man. Because you want to go to heaven, but they want to come into us. So they want to make you heavenly. Let me tell you this. Let them take all Americans, bring them to Nigeria, and take all Nigerians and take them to America. And it's just a matter of 10 years. What will happen to Nigeria? Come on, what will happen to Nigeria? Nigeria will become what? And America will become. So no man has ascended up to heaven except the Son of Man that came down from heaven, which is in heaven, meaning he was an heavenly man. And so for you to be an heavenly man does not mean that you are going to heaven. It means the heavenly righteousness is in you. Now you don't need to go to hell for you to be hellish. You can be on earth and you are hell, because hell is a life. You can live hell on earth, like you can also live what? Heaven on earth. It's a condition. It's a, when you get the righteousness of God, you can live heaven on earth. When you are, if you can break into Satan's call, you will be hellish on earth. The beast in Revelation 13 is a man. It means the man learned Satan well. Satan said, Omo, you don't graduate. I give you my seat. Satan has never done that before. Never given any man a seat. You know what his seat means? That's his power. He's all authority. The guy did well to learn. So it means I can learn righteousness. Come on, what did I say I can do? And access what all the conditions of life in God. Let's just finish up. Are we blessed? Take me back. So as Moses lifted up his servant in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. That whoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who should what? Whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17. God did not send his Son into the world to what? To condemn the world, but that the world might in what be saved. Everybody say saved. So God's definition of salvation is to come into what? Is to come into what? The righteousness of his life. So salvation is a journey that starts with the raising of your spirit. Salvation must climax in a condition of life called heavens. So it means salvation starts from the head. As you are growing, you are more saved. Then when you come into climax of righteousness, you come into what? The fullness of salvation. Now somebody said, Pastor Dimitri, why are you saying this? If not, Peter will not say, receiving the end of your faith. If the end of faith is the salvation of your soul, it means the beginning of faith is the beginning of what? Salvation. So this is the climax. Full righteousness is full what? Salvation. What is full salvation? Look at it. When you say somebody is saved as God is, it means God's righteousness has been fully domiciled in a man. It means God can walk righteousness in you. such that as he is, so are you. You can't say that now. You can't be confessing that by faith. As he is, so am I. But sir, you still lied yesterday. Does God lie? We can't use new creation reality to do Oboju. So my wife taught us, he says, we are seated in Christ. It's your spirit. They say, but your spirit is seated so that you can sit. Gone, gone. If you don't overcome, you will not sit. If you don't learn righteousness, you will not sit. Meaning you will not inherit the throne. Sir, you can't even sit on that way. It's Jesus that is seated on the throne. You are seated in him to sit with him. What did I say? So if you sit in him and you don't learn righteousness, you will never sit with him and reign with him. That's reigning. Can we all say amen? I can't hear you say amen. Glory to God. Can we say amen? So you can see, righteousness must be fully revealed for the kingdom of God to be fully revealed. So the kingdom of God is tied to revelation of righteousness. And what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God can only be measured in what? Salvation. So let me tell you this. If you teach kingdom and you don't teach salvation, you don't really understand the kingdom of God. Because what makes God's kingdom different is that God's kingdom does not change. Kingdoms come and go. I know this song we used to sing. It has always been you. Kingdom rise and fall, but yours will never change. The reason why his kingdom does not change is because he does not change. So anything that still makes you change, you have not received the kingdom fully. The fullness of the kingdom is to give you an unchangeable life. An unshakable life. We receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. We receiving. So it's a present progressive thing. How are you receiving the kingdom? By receiving righteousness. So when the kingdom of God has been fully revealed in a man, then we can say that soul has come into the end of faith, or the climax of righteousness, which is the saving of the soul. Amen. So what is Jesus' message? Salvation. Jesus himself is a building of salvation. His name is his mission. And they shall call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. Now Jesus is not just going to save. When they say they are saving you from sin, it's not just beyond, I'm not lying. I use all the things I do them no more. When I used to lie, I lie no more. Now I used to smoke, I smoke no more. It's beyond that. That's just the beginning. Let me say that's just the beginning. The real work Jesus wants to do is to reproduce himself in you. Oh, nobody's saying amen. Amen. I said he wants to reproduce what? So a king shall reign in righteousness. Princes. You know those princes, they're by stature, they can wield the power of the throne. They say somebody is a prince of the kingdom. I'm not talking about my prince that is a small boy that doesn't know anything. I'm talking about a prince that knows everything about that kingdom. He can wield the authority of the kingdom because he has judgment. So judgment is what? Righteousness. Installation of God's righteousness will give you God's judgment. Then you can wield the power of his throne. Then you can judge his enemies. You can't judge God's enemies when his enemies still have programs running in you. So you can see salvation is that we are free from the influence of all his enemies. And then we can now execute judgment on those enemies. So this age will close by Jesus raising sons. Oh, everybody say he will raise sons. He will raise sons that are going to be like him. They will be like him. I said they will be like him. I said they will be like him. This is the real gospel of the kingdom. It's to raise sons of God that are like him, that can execute righteousness and judgment. Amen. Can we begin to thank God? The Lord, this is a short walk. Let us thank God. Let us begin to thank God. Let's thank him. 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 Oh, Father, we give you thanks. We are grateful. 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 Can we thank God? More is coming. More is coming. Oh, we give you thanks. 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 Can we submit to the program of learning righteousness? Finally, you know, a Christian may never yield to learning righteousness. But I can tell you, the only way you can reign. You know, the scripture says, if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. If we suffer with him, we shall be glorified together. Glory is tied to suffering. What is suffering? It's not lack of money and all these things. Suffering is responding to righteousness. It is what? Me denying my will to do his will. And that is what you characterize, what you call Christian journey. Every day you should be denying your will for his will. And as you do that, you are being raised. As a what? As a son of God. Can we begin to yield to God today? Are there things that you are still struggling with? Can we surrender to the revelation of Jesus' righteousness and choose to do his will, obey his righteousness, become like what he became? Come on, let's submit to Jesus. Let's yield to him this afternoon. I agree with him. Let's agree.
Spirit, words as life has come unto you. Now is the season to walk in the things spoken. For more messages, visit our website at www.thecitygate.org. Stay blessed.